Blog Talk Radio.
You have been listening to The Grace Call with Arnold Roberts on the LifeQuest Christian Network. All shows are archived for easy access. Tune in and call in at the regularly scheduled time each week. Check out other shows airing at Blog Talk Radio and the LifeQuest Christian Network. The Grace Call with Arnold Roberts on the LifeQuest Christian Network, where Jesus Christ and His kingdom are lifted up, questions are addressed, and topics are discussed. Agree or disagree? Something to share or pray about? All are welcome. We want to hear from you. LifeQuest Christian Network.
Welcome to Reflecting His Gifts. I'm Sissy Ellison, your host, and I believe that every person has a God-given purpose, a gift or a talent, a testimony that is meant to impact this world for the good and bring glory and honor to God. I believe it's Romans 8:28 tells us that all things, even the bad stuff, work together for the good of those who've been called according to God's purpose. God is famous for making lemonade out of lemons, giving hope to the hopeless, using the foolish to confound the wise, and even using our worst pain and losses to make us stronger, to teach us important lessons, to equip and gift us, and then to use us as we comfort and help others who may encounter the same trials. Tonight we'll talk with someone who helped others to realize and fulfill their God-given purpose. Many women are walking around with so much untapped power, so many dreams and goals, locked up inside the confines of their lives, and sadly, many of them never reach their full potential, and they never realize those dreams and goals. Who knows the limits and heights many of us could reach if we only had good direction, the right tools, determination, the right resources, strong faith and confidence. My guest this evening is Donna Woolham. Donna's passion is to help women reach their potential as they fulfill their God-given purpose and as they discover their gifts and talents and use them to their fullest. She is a life coach, speaker, author, and blogger. She knows her God-given purpose, and that is to help other women discover and fulfill their God-given purpose. Her path has not always been easy, as she will share with us tonight, but like all my guests, those hard trials have only strengthened her and become stepping stones to an even more meaningful testimony and ministry. It is my pleasure to welcome Donna Woolham to Reflecting His Gifts. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Sissy. Thank you so much for inviting me to come to your program. I'm just thrilled to be here tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on our show. Donna, I always love to begin my interviews with stories of my guests' early beginnings. We're painting a picture of your life in ministry tonight for our listeners. Why don't we begin with your childhood?
I would be delighted to do that. I grew up in Amarillo, Texas, which is in the Panhandle area of Texas. My parents were children of the Depression, and they were hardworking, loving, supportive parents. They just really did everything they could to make sure their children had a better life than they had had growing up. I have two brothers and a younger sister, so I'm a little bit that middle child. And as we were growing up, there were some really, really great times, vacations in the mountains and terrific things like that that happened, and then there were difficult things. My mom suffered with a chronic illness, and from the time that I was in school, started school in first grade then, and all the way up through probably nearly to high school, she just had to deal with these issues. And so, of course, that created some stress in the household, but we held together as a family and loved one another. In that time, my mom was a devout believer. My dad had grown up in a Christian home, and so there was always some mention of God in our household at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you attend church as a child? Was faith in Jesus Christ a vital part of your environment?
You know, that is such an interesting question. And I think that for a lot of American households, God is the center and an understanding that there is a God and a creator, but not so much Jesus Christ and his salvation. And so that may sound like a strange answer, but we did go to church some. In fact, I had someone describe to me that I was jerked up in church. We would go for a while and stop for a while, go for a while and stop for a while. So there was an understanding of God, and yeah, there was a time of relationship a little bit there.
Right. I believe that's the way of a lot of Christians, or a lot of people with that kind of faith nowadays. And God is often mentioned, but our Savior, Jesus Christ, is as we know, the way, the truth, and the light. And, mm-hmm. and often people don't understand that that is the way, and they leave him out of it. But you described becoming a Christian at age 12. So how did that experience occur, and what was it like for you?
You know, I love to, Sissy, I love to think about that time. And for me, it is just like it happened this morning. I was a pretty insecure young woman because of the different things that had gone on in our household. But we went to a small community church just up the street. And I can remember times walking with my mother and my sister to church. And there must have been an incredible woman who was leading our youth area at that time, because all of us made a profession of Christ around that time. I remember all of us being in classes together to learn more about salvation. But I was sitting in that small church at age 12, and I remember saying in my heart, Jesus, I know that you are the Savior of the world. I yes. want you to be my Savior. And this feeling came over me, this warmth and this beauty, and it was such a true, true experience that I can feel it even today when yes. I talk about it.
I understand exactly what you mean, and I wish there were some way to adequately describe that. I think it's different for everybody, but I think you always remember it. You always mm-hmm. remember that moment that you met Jesus, because it's like no other moment we could ever experience, and nothing quite surpasses mm-hmm. that moment. At least it doesn't for me, and it sounds like it didn't for you either.
No.
We often hear of children who profess their faith in Christ only to drift away in the following years. Did this happen for you as well? And if so, why do you think that happened? Why do you think that happens to kids who make early professions, to some of them?
Yeah, I wish that I could say that it had not happened to me, but it did. And I think some of it was because we were in and out of church a lot. There wasn't any stability there, but I know that that also happens with children, that their families are in church every time the doors are open. Mm-hmm. For me, I know that my particular personality, I wanted acceptance from people, and I wanted friends, and so I was, at that point in my life, I was a lot a follower, and I just followed people who didn't follow Christ, unfortunately. And the Lord was so faithful. He did put friends in my life from time to time who were faithful believers and faithful followers, and they had a huge impact on me from moments and spans of time. I just am so thankful to the Lord, because, you know, he says he never leaves us nor forsakes us, and he just continued to draw me, continued to love me, continued to show up in times in my life, and he did really just continue to call me to himself. But most of the time, I just went ahead and did whatever I wanted to do. There wasn't any real discipline or discipleship during that time
right.
in my life.
And I think that's something that's very important to mention, too, that we know as adult, as mature Christians, we constantly have to stay in the Word and nurture that relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I don't think kids realize that for that relationship to grow or for them to stay close to Jesus, they have to communicate with Him. They have to be in church. They have to study the Word. So I think that's where we lose a lot of young people when they are not discipled. Were you aware that you had drifted away, and did you feel convicted by that at all, that you just weren't living out your faith and had kind of gone away a little bit from that wonderful moment when you met Jesus? It's not something kids think about, is it, very much when they're doing it?
No. And, you know, really, honestly, probably not until my 20s did I have any kind of feeling that I had drifted away from the Lord. And I really think that that's because the concept of the people that I was around was that you could be somebody who knows God, and a relationship with Him was not something that was really talked about. Everybody was a Christian, so it didn't matter. And I'm not saying that that was the truth. I'm just saying that that was the concept. Living in Texas, the Bible Belt, everybody you know believed in God. So it wasn't a big
thing. For granted.
Yeah. Yeah, it was taken for granted. And so, but as I got older, and especially when I had my children, and I had my children pretty young, then I began to think more about what life was going to be for them and for myself. And I really, the call of the Holy Spirit just began to be stronger every single year. And there were times when I would go to church with them, and times I would not, just following the pattern that I had been in before. My husband was not a believer. He didn't keep me from going to church. It wasn't a thing. I mean, he had no problem. He said Christians were good people. He didn't mind if I went to church.
Yeah.
So, but there's the concept of being unequally yoked that people don't talk a lot about. And even though he didn't keep me from it, it wasn't our lifestyle.
Right.
And so, so that was a big part of it. It was later in my 20s when my sister had a radical conversion and transformation, and she began to talk with me about the Lord, that really I began to turn my heart. I started listening to Christian radio and Christian music. I found a church to go to, and I did go faithfully and began a campaign to get my husband converted.
When your sister was transformed by Jesus and gave her life to Him, she probably started praying for you too. I think that makes a big difference in all of our lives. We can all go back and find that someone, families or friends, began to pray for us when they were born again. So she was probably praying. Well, what was it like to renew your faith and fellowship with Jesus Christ? How did you begin to change, and what did this mean to you?
It was an incredible situation, and I'll have to be honest that it was okay for me to be a nominal believer, but when I became a radical believer, then there began to be a little bit of confrontation in our household, as you would imagine. And not anger, but that clash of the two kingdoms began to take place in my home. And I was in the Word every day. All of the music that I listened to was Christian music.
Right.
We prayed before every meal, even if my husband didn't want to pray. The boys and I prayed. We went to church. Every time the doors were open, we were in classes, the boys were at. So there were a lot, it was a radical, radical transformation. And for our home, it was, of course, the best thing, but it was a challenging time for us as well. Thankfully, it didn't last a long, long time to where my husband and I were not in agreement there.
Yeah, it is a challenge when one or one person becomes a really born-again, sold-out Christian and the rest of the family isn't, or, you know, especially a husband and a wife, because, you know, when you're truly born again, Jesus becomes your world and, uh-huh. and your focus. And like you said, you begin to listen to the music and read the Word, and it can sometimes become a battlefield because they can grow to resent. And I think it's that spirit in them that strives with the spirit in us. And, you know, mm. until that's settled and there's no harmony. Well, your husband also became a believer and dedicated his life to Christ. This was a big, big, big change. What happened to cause this, and how was your life like after that?
Well, it's a funny story. I was on my way to church one night and listening to a broadcast of church on the way to church. And someone was giving their testimony of how their wife had put C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, in the house. So immediately the next day, I went to the Christian bookstore and bought Mere Christianity and took it home and put it on our coffee table. And I would leave tracts around. Just around. And we loved music. And I went to the Christian bookstore and bought, this will date me, some albums and of music, style of music that I knew my husband would like. And I brought that home and would have that music playing. And it was around Easter time. And he decided, out of the blue, he said, Donna, I think I'll go to church with you.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I was like, well, okay then, because we were having Easter revival, and he'd never been to a revival. He thought he'd go.
Oh.
Of course, we know that the Lord was really working on his heart, so he went with us. And the first night of the revival, of course, my heart is just expecting that he'll run to the altar and he'll be born again and everything will be great. And that didn't happen. And so the second night, I expected the same thing, and that didn't happen. But the next morning when I got up and I was getting ready for work and doing my thing, he said to me, I always wondered how Christians would feel when they woke up. And I thought, oh, great, here's some sort of snarky remark from him. And he stopped and he said, and now I know. And
that night
he had, after church, he had taken out that book, Mere Christianity, and he put on one of the albums, and he sat down, and he began to read, and he thought, if this is the truth, I have to let myself go and believe it. And he did, and he was born again miraculously. He would not let me tell a person because he wanted to tell everybody at church that
night. Oh, you're kidding. That's wonderful. That's what he was supposed to do.
That's what he was supposed to do. But, of course, I wanted to call my mom and call my sister and call the pastor, but I refrained. And we went early, and he went in and spoke with the associate pastor, who was an incredible man, a very good friend, and spoke with him, and they prayed together again, and it was just incredible. Our lives just were never the same after, of course.
That is so awesome, and you just said you hit the nail on the head. Our lives are never the same when Jesus comes into our lives. My life was never the same again. It's just, you can't describe it. Just like we talked about a moment ago, you can't describe salvation and the change in a home and an environment, an atmosphere, outlook. Everything changes. That's just being born again, isn't it?
It is. It is. And my husband joined the choir, and he would just stand up there and sing, and he joined the men's groups, and he worked with the kids' ministries, and everything was just radically different, and it was just miraculous, and it is miraculous, and we talk about, because the first 10 years of our marriage was, we had some hard, hard times in those years when you're not living for God. Even in the best of circumstances, things can be tough, but we were not the best of circumstances kind of people. And we had some really, really hard years. But from that point forward, I'm not saying everything's been easy, but we've been together and we've been under Christ, and it's made all the difference. It's made all the difference.
Of course, he makes the difference. And I always say, he never promised that things would be easy. In fact, he upfront told us, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome it. And a lot of people, you know, think it's going to be a primrose path and they can wear rose-colored glasses, but that's not the case. But I'll tell you this, I would much rather have Jesus walking with me through this minefield called life than not to have him, because he has brought me through everything and he's enhanced literally everything in my life. And I know you know that to be true, too. He just makes it all bearable, even wonderful at times, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. He absolutely does. It's just fabulous, fabulous. It's just wonderful to belong to him.
Yes, it is. Well, I understand that with these professions of faith and your growing love for the Lord, you and your husband both began to want to enter seminary, Bible college. Tell us about that.
We were just crazy for Jesus. And my husband knew that he had a call on his life. And one of those things, because I guess just because the Lord made me this way, I knew that we had a call on our lives, and I tried to convince Richard that that's the way it was. But, you know, the Holy Spirit had told me more than once that I was not him, and I should leave God's work to God, just to step back and be a good, loving, good wife, and just be a good wife, and let the Lord do his work. And Richard came to that point where he knew that he was called to the ministry, and there was a ministry that we had listened to a lot and really felt a drawing to go to that Bible school, and it was down in Midland, Texas. And the same day we came, we talked to each other. We'd heard on the same program the same day, and we just really believed that that's what we wanted to do and needed to do, and also that that's what the Lord wanted us to do. So we picked up our home and family and moved down south to go to school, and it was an absolutely wonderful time for us. It didn't turn out the way we thought. We really thought we were going to be able to go to school and we would be part of a church planting team and they would send us off, and there were some shifts in that school in the meantime, and it was hard in the leadership of the school, not the necessarily the doctrine of the school, but in the leadership of the school. And so the plan that we thought was going to happen did not happen for us, but we did both graduate from Bible school with ministry degrees, and then we began to ask the Lord, well, what's next? And he sent us to a very small West Texas town to pastor that church, and he was just so in the middle of all of it. We had to work so hard to do all of that, but it was a labor of love, and there was not a moment that we didn't feel like that we were not right in the center of God's will. It wasn't what we had thought was going to happen, but it was God's plan, and it was wonderful. It was hard. Richard had to work full-time. There wasn't really any kind of salary for the church, but the Lord always provided for us. I was a homeschool mom, took care. I had two teenage boys. I didn't start homeschooling until my eldest was just about to go into junior high, but we just felt like that was what the Lord wanted us to do because of the situations and things that were going on in the school. We were concerned we were going to lose our eldest son because of stress that he was going through at that time. So we made that choice, and that was not easy, but wow, God was faithful, and we have some of the most incredible young men as sons that any parent could ever want.
I'm sure they benefited greatly from the homeschooling, and you've just described small beginnings, and I've come to know and believe that we have to bloom where we're planted, and the small beginnings are really the most important foundation for future ministry. And when we are faithful to those, no matter what it is, if it's a church where we're not getting a salary, if it's just a small group, whatever it is, and then our own family, if we're faithful in ministering to them and putting them first, because I'm a firm believer that if my family cannot say that Jesus lives in our home through my ministry to them, I need not go out to try to share that with anyone else. So you've just described two places where God was probably giving you a huge, strong foundation for your future ministry, and that was a small church and then your own family.
That's such an excellent point. Sometimes we, especially if you have a calling to ministry, you can look at a mega church or a larger church and feel like that you are not as important in the kingdom of God as other people are. It's just, unfortunately, that kind of stuff happens in the church just like it does in the world, is comparison and looking at one another, even though the Bible specifically says, do not compare yourselves to one another, we still do that. But it, those small places, those medium-sized places, all of those from that one-on-one conversation in a living room with someone to a pulpit or a Sunday school class or a Bible study, all of those things are so, so, so important. No matter how small and insignificant we may think they are, nothing is small in the kingdom of God.
They could be the biggest things when we get to heaven and we look back and God shows us they could be the biggest things of all. And I've learned that he never moves me past my last step of obedience. And you know, often those are small things to the world, it would seem that way, but it's where he grew me the most. Well, Donna, we're going to pause for a few moments to hear about the exciting Woods End series by gifted author Alexandra Clair. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
The Woods End series by Alexandra Clair. When Andrea is framed for murder, she discovers that divorce cannot sever the ties from a dangerous cult. Follow Boston Police Detective Jared Scheel as he sets out to solve a murder and kidnapping, only to confront a vast conspiracy competing to produce the last Antichrist of world history. Against the backdrop of drama and intrigue, the Woods End characters come to see that demons are on their last assignments. Bible prophecy unfolds in real time, and Jesus Christ is at the door. Two books, Woods End, and the thrilling sequel, The Year Between the Wood. Download from Kindle, Nook, Screwpulp.com, or purchase the softcover at Amazon. Also by Alexandra Clair, a work of nonfiction, discerning spirits, visionary gifts, and practice. Find it all at alexandraclair.com.
We're talking tonight with Donna Woolham, my guest on Reflecting His Gifts. Donna Woolham is a life coach, a blogger, an author. She helps other women to reach their potential and fulfill their God-given purpose. Donna, when did you begin to feel the call of God to empower other women to fulfill their God-given purpose? Usually when someone develops this passion for helping others to do something, it's birthed from their own life experiences. Did you somewhere along the way learn what your own gifts and talents were, and as you began to use them to the fullest, was your passion for helping other women to do the same ignited?
One of the things that happened for me early in my Christian career, and I say Christian career advisedly because I think that it is a labor of love and a work of love and a work in the kingdom. But I was so young in the Lord, and I was introduced to a woman who was in charge of a mission outreach service there in the panhandle of Texas. And most cities or states have their big fall fairs. And I worked with a women's ministry outreach group for that fair. And that lady became unable to continue working in that position in our association, and they asked me to take that up, which was totally freaky, I'll tell you. I was really young, and young in the Lord. But
yes,
they felt like that I could handle that, and the first thing that they did was sent me off to a small church to teach about missions and outreach. And so there I was, needing to be prepared for that and to work in that and working with women who were much older than I was and much more advanced in the kingdom of God than I was. And so I began even right then to know that it was important to trust in the Lord to help you with whatever you had to do.
Number one,
no matter what. And, yes, you know, I can say thankfully that throughout my Christian life that he has always shown up because of one thing, and that's because he loves his people. And even though we may feel like we don't have the strength or skill or ability or knowledge, he does. And he is able to make us able to do whatever he puts in front of us. And so that was, I was pretty young then. Well, after we moved to Midland, I was involved in a lot of small groups and home groups and things like that as part of my ministry training and Bible studies where I was leading in those areas. I also began to work for myself from home in the direct sales space. I had never done anything like that, but I was introduced to it, and I began to love it, and part of what you do in direct sales is you ask other women or men to join you in the business, and you develop a team of people to work with, and my responsibility was to train them and to make sure that they had the skills that they needed to be successful in their business. And all of them had different goals, and I had to learn how to help them with those and to decide what those were and to work along that area. And because of the years of education and training that I'd received through the church, I knew that there were some steps to follow, and I just loved it. I loved being able to see a woman who had very little confidence in her skills and abilities turn into someone that, I guess I want to take back that, not turn into someone, but release the woman that she is inside of her. And I can think of one woman in particular that when she joined our group, she could not even speak to her group of friends right there in that room without becoming extremely nervous and being almost, it was almost impossible for her to speak. And she was then, within a very short time, had the confidence to be able to do so much more. And then to help leaders develop their leadership skills was something that I loved being able to do, because I don't think that leadership is about managing people. It's about empowering people and helping them to discover what makes them unique and special and gifted in their own right, and helping them to discover the ways that they can release that and to witness a transformation in a woman outside of their transformation in Christ. To see a woman begin to step into the beauty of who she is one of the most satisfying things that I've ever experienced.
I'm sure that is, and that's such a privilege to be able to do that for others. Well, what was your first real bona fide ministry? I know your groups and everything, but when did you begin to give a name to your ministry and begin to call it a ministry? I mean, how did it begin to grow?
It actually was, and this is an interesting part of that, because I was always very, very involved in church. Of course, you know that from what I've said. But I listened to a Christian sales trainer, and she said that the great thing about being a person who worked from home or worked out in the marketplace is that we were like God's secret agents in the world, because we could get into places that most people wouldn't let a Christian come in. So
right.
We could go into homes and into the lives of people that would never have that opportunity. So I always saw my work from home business as a ministry. And I know that's not the question you're asking, but I think that that's important to know, that it's that has always been a ministry for me. But as in the past few years, and I will have to say that the Lord gave me a true heart whenever I was in my 20s about this vision of women working together to support and nurture one another, women from all backgrounds, and helping women to understand that each woman has a gift to give and each woman has something to learn. And the name that came to me was WORK, W-O-R-K, which doesn't sound like any fun at all, but it stands for Women of the Royal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was the epitome of seeing Christian women work together to support one another, to acknowledge one another, to strengthen one another. And that has been my heart cry always, always to see that happen. But in the past few years, and I know we're going to talk about this, but with my husband became ill, and I had to step back from all of the things that I've been doing, from working at home. And there was a huge span of time where I had to just be still. And that's when I began to see the greater, bigger picture outside of the business realm into a real concentrated calling to work with women.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we go ahead and talk about that? We'll go back to some of the other questions about your ministry. I understand that not so long ago your husband was diagnosed with cancer, and can you tell us about that experience and what that was like?
That was probably as anyone who's ever gone through anything like that with a spouse would attest, it's the most horrifying thing you can ever imagine having to walk through. Mm-hmm. My husband and I had a good relationship. He, you know, we loved each other. We were close to each other. So thankful for that. He was working as an over-the-road truck driving professional. And he would be gone for a couple of weeks at a time and then come home. And he had not been doing well, and we knew that he'd not been doing well, and his arm was hurting, and he had decided that he would come home and go to the doctor. You know, men aren't always really quick to go to the doctor with a problem.
No, they're not.
And he called me and said, Donna, something's happened to my arm. I need you. He was at home. He'd come home. He said, something's happened to my arm. I need you to come and take me to the hospital. So I knew it was serious. When I picked him up, he was just white as a sheet. And we went to the emergency room thinking that he had maybe a torn ligament or something like that. And when the doctor on call came back in the room, she had tears in her eyes, and she said, Mr. Wollum, you've broken your arm, and it looks like you have cancer. And then,
she said right then, it looked like he had, my goodness, how could they tell that?
Because of the way that the bone had pits in it. In his arm.
So
he had a tumor grow in his arm and break the arm.
Bless his
so
heart.
All that time when he was hurting, it was the tumor growing in the arm. And it was, you know, your life stops. Anything that you might have had planned, your lunch plans, your dinner plans, your buy a new dress plans, your go-out-of-town plans, everything stops. Your world.
It all changes.
It all changes. And it was a Friday, and so we had to wait until Monday to call an orthopedic doctor to get an appointment. We had to wait till Wednesday or Thursday. We did not have a family physician, but the Lord just opened up just such an incredible opportunity. The orthopedic doctor was in an office with a general physician. She saw him that day. She did tests that day. She saw him the next day and referred him to an oncologist, and we were in the process. And from that moment on, as horrendous as everything was, the presence of God was so overwhelming.
Wow. And
I would not want anyone to ever go through what we went, but I would want anyone to know the presence of the Lord the way we did. And the presence of the Lord surrounded Richard like a warm blanket and the love of God surrounded him and supported him and helped him in such an incredible way and ministered to him in the midst of that, and then gave me the strength to do everything that I had to do, which was everything. My husband was absolutely incapable of any kind of work, of course. He was the very worst stage of multiple myeloma, which is a plasma cell cancer. The doctors weren't even sure if he was strong enough and would be well enough to do the testing that was required without having to go into the hospital to do that. He was one of the worst cases his particular oncologist had ever seen. And on top of that, then we found out that he also had renal cell carcinoma that they just happened to find while doing the testing for the others. And for those that don't know, multiple myeloma is a blood cancer, and the plasma cells begin to clone themselves, and they push out all of the other blood, the white and the blood, red blood cells. So he became very anemic. He became very weak. He has a broken arm. He's in a great amount of pain, and we just had to figure out how to live.
It was just crazy.
Through that time, I will say now, for those who are listening, my husband is doing well. He's sitting right in the other room with his tablet and our dog. And he's just, he watered the yard all today, and that was three years ago, 2012. He's cancer-free, in complete remission. The doctors say that multiple myeloma is not a curable cancer, but we believe that God is able to do anything. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything we ask or think, so we trust him for a complete healing in that. In the meantime, in that 3 years, we had to, our son and daughter, our eldest son and his wife came, and their two children came and moved in with us to help us. We had to travel back and forth from our home in Midland to Dallas, which is over 300 miles, because of the kind of cancer that Richard had. The treatment that he needed was not available in our hometown. And in the midst of that, he had kidney failure, where he was on dialysis for 12 weeks. They thought he'd never come off of that, and he did. He had septic shock and was airlifted from Dallas. It is a litany of, if God had not, then my Richard would not be here today. But God did.
Yes, he did. And there he is outside watering your yard right now. See, that's what
absolutely.
God did.
That's what God can do. And I could go on for a long time about that,
but I just want to encourage people to know. It's so precious, you know,
it is.
Your faith carried you through that. God carried you through that. And sometimes we find that our worst pain and losses often strangely enhance our lives and our growth as Christians and our relationship with Jesus. And many times we develop a deeper sense of compassion toward others through our own trials, and our testimonies of faith are enriched and made sweeter by those dark valleys we walk through. Did you find this to be true in your life?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and one of the hard things about this whole time, and one of the sweet things, too, if you could say that, we had to leave all of our home and friends and family behind. They all lived in Midland or Amarillo, and we had to be in Dallas. We lived in hotel rooms. We lived in hospital rooms. There were weeks whenever I slept on a hospital bed for over 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and he slept in a hospital bed 3-4 weeks at a time, 10 days at a time, over and over again. We lived in one-room hotel rooms and out of suitcases, and so our friends would come, we would have phone conversations, but we had to depend on the presence of the Lord for our support. It wasn't like people were going to come and help us. And so that was the sweetness about that, is that we had learned to trust in God in a greater way than we ever would have any other way. I'm convinced of that.
Well, he says that, you know, we'll go on and use the comfort we receive to comfort others, and I'm sure that's what's happened. You have a whole new perspective. It gives us a whole new viewpoint and a whole different, especially our viewpoint of God and his faithfulness and his comfort We can't know that until we really need it so badly, and then we understand how close he really is. That's just a precious testimony, and I'm so glad he's doing well. I'll keep him on my prayer list and continue to pray for him. Now, about your ministry, Donna, you teach women to fulfill their God-given purpose and to realize their best potential. What tools do you use to teach these women? You've mentioned something called Heart Code. Tell us about that.
Heart Code, that is a precious, precious compilation of years of working with women, because this is what I know.
Mm-hmm.
We are uniquely wonderful, brilliant, breathtaking creatures created by God individually.
Yes, we
and
are.
we just are. And the Lord has gifted each and every woman with unique gifts and talents. It says in Ephesians, we are his masterpiece, created to do good works. So often we try to fit our oblong, star-shaped, odd-shaped selves into a square box because we see what others say we should be or should do. Heart Code is designed to help women really get connected with three things: with the purpose of God for their life and with the passion that they have been given in their life. And to have clarity in that and to feel strong and confident in that. So it is a process where we look at a person. We all have unique personalities, but there are some personality types, so we do a little bit of that. We do some investigating about the kind of things that you're passionate about. A lot of times, if you can go back over the things that just really make your heart sing, that's where your passion is. And then we can begin to see how God's purpose is for us to work in that area or to give in that area. And I really think that sometimes women believe that what they have to offer is too small,
mm-hmm.
that they think, well, all I know is how to make a great lasagna.
Yeah.
Well, the woman who does not know how to cook, to know how to make a great lasagna could change her world. And some are great in technology and some are great in different areas, but if you can own who you are in Christ, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, and then begin to release that. I call that, and I know we'll talk about that in a minute, but the first book that the Lord has, you know, helped me to write is called Breathtaking, Discover and Release Your Greatness. And it goes a lot into my background and my story that I didn't cover today, but it walks basically through those little steps, the first beginning steps of identifying your heart code. And then I work with women one-on-one and in groups, and am developing an online course that women can take from the comfort of their home and step through that with some guided leadership to be able to really discover that.
That's one of the tools. That's so awesome, because I think one of the greatest feelings in the world is to realize your God-given purpose. It's taken me most of my life and through a lot of hard knocks and a lot of sin and a lot of hindrances and setbacks and delays to finally, you know, realize some of the gifts that God's given me and to feel very comfortable in those. And I think there's nothing more wonderful than to realize what your God-given purpose is. But there are a lot of women who, like you say, they think, well, I can do this, but this probably isn't very much, or I don't know how to grow that. And I just think it's wonderful that you're helping women to find their purpose. Have you seen some of these women go on to actually discover their purpose and to walk in that purpose, to use their gifts and talents to their full potential? Have you got a story or two about that?
I do, and this gal, she probably was like, you're going to talk about me again? I'm not going to use her name, but she is a woman that I met early on, and I loved her from the moment that I met her.
Yeah.
But I just knew that she didn't really know what was inside of her. She was quick to put herself down in a laughing kind of way, and she even still will today, but not as much and not as in a harsh way. And I would just tell her, why do you say those things to yourself? Why do you do those things? And I have seen her over the years. She has begun to know who she is in Christ and who he has made her to be.
Mm-hmm.
She is working in ministry now. She works in community outreach and works with the homeless. She is a business leader. She works with the youth and young people in her church. She works with outreach and evangelism. And I truly believe that if she had not come to an understanding that all of that was inside of her,
mm-hmm.
that she might have just stayed thinking that she really didn't have anything that people would want.
Right. And you know what? I think one of the worst deterrents to fulfilling our own God-given purpose, there is so much comparison between women sometimes. We look at someone else and think, oh, look at them, they can do that. I could never do that, or I should be as good as that, or I should do just that. And really what I found is that we are all very unique. And although we might have some of the same gifts, the way that they God calls us all to present those can be very different. We all have a unique style. We all have, we're just unique. And I think one of the biggest deterrents to fulfilling the God-given purpose among the women in the body of Christ is that we think we all have to be alike, or we compare ourselves to someone else. What do you think about that?
I absolutely agree. And I think that even though however old you may become, somehow we retain this junior high school girl mentality of, will she like me? And if I don't do that, or if I do this, or how will that be? And we are so afraid to be the beautiful, unique creation that God has made us to be, to have our own dreams and our own hopes, and to know that God has set us on a path. It says that he has plans for us, for good, for a future and a hope, for good and not for evil. And, you know, some of those are big plans for the whole body of Christ, but I believe that he has individual callings for each one of us and individual ways to express that. He made us individuals for a purpose.
Right.
And so one of the things that kind of the theme of what I like to help women to do, and it's the motto that I use on my website, but it's reclaim your hope, reignite your dreams, reinvent your world, and experience a belief revolution. Because I truly believe with all my heart that once a woman knows who she is in Christ, that she can be free to be that woman.
I think you're right, exactly right. When you do that, you've just set yourself free. I think God has set you free when you finally realize that. I read a devotional once, and I don't know if I can say this in the right way or not, but it made an impact on me. And the devotional was one of those where God is speaking to us as if he's speaking to us, you know, like calling or Jesus calling or whatever. But this was, it's not so much the outer person that we all have to fear. It's that inward crippled person that can't express itself, that is bitter and resentful sometimes and so fearful. And that's the worst thing. Am I saying that right? Do you get what I'm trying to say?
I do, absolutely.
To fear. We want that to be set free, because when we're crippled inside and don't know who we are and we fear what others think or we compare ourselves or don't ever realize that God-given purpose, that makes us unhappy, doesn't it?
It does. I call those thought vandals, because they come to steal away our joy, our hope, our belief, our purpose, our life. They come to cripple us, just like you said.
Yeah. Well, Donna, what are your future goals for your ministry?
Well, I am happy to say that I've been blessed now that my husband is better to be able to head full force into the things that the Lord has for me. I am a life coach. I work with women individually, but I also have groups that they can join. On my website, we have three different ways that women can connect with our community, and one is it's called the Grace Life Christian aspect, where it's just really centered in on strictly and only Christian life development. In fact, I know that this, people will hear this at different times, but I'm going to be having a free Bible study that starts up in September, and it's a 6-week virtual online. We're going to do some live stuff. It's going to be on the book of Ephesians, and so I'm super excited about that. Super excited for that. And so that they can connect there with that. I have an area for women who are looking. Everything has a spiritual aspect to it, just so that people know. But then there's a more that's just about self-improvement and life improvement and trying to get balance in their life and get clarity. And then for those women who are looking for more leadership development, leadership skills, and this could be a woman who's working at the PTA or in the corporate office, or she has just a group of people she needs to organize and try to figure out, then I have a business aspect side of things. So all of those are available on the same website where people can connect and just fit in a place that they really want their focus.
Well, what is that website again? And are we able to see your books and anything else that you offer in your ministry through that website? Is this how we would find out more about you? What is that website again?
It's DonnaWoolum.com, DonnaWoolam. And a lot of what you will see on my website is Living at My Best, which stands for Lamb. And I believe that we are lambs under the shepherd's care. And I just, whenever I say that I want people to live at their best, then I want them to know the fullness that Christ has for them. And I know we're running really short of time, but I just want to give this one scripture.
Yes, I was going to say, could you leave us with some closing words and scriptures tonight about becoming all we can be in Jesus?
The one that just makes my heart sing always is out of Ephesians chapter 3, and I know that you'll be familiar with this, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Verse 16 says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and to keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And I just, my heart cry, it says in 2 Corinthians that we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God himself were saying, be reconciled to God. And wherever you find yourself in life, that is what you need to do, is find yourself in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything else will fall into place if you do that.
Yes, yes, you're exactly right. My heart was singing when you read that verse from Ephesians. What was that verse again? I'm going to write that one down because I want to read it after the program.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19.
I don't know if it's how you read it, if you were just so full of the Holy Spirit, it just reached out and grabbed my heart. I just wanted to shout, but that was so awesome. And Donna, you are just so awesome. I've just enjoyed so much talking to you tonight. You are a precious person, and you have truly realized your God-given purpose, and what a wonderful purpose to help other women to realize theirs. We've come to the close of another wonderful program tonight. I know you've loved listening to Donna share her story, and her ministry with us, and I know you'll want to go to her website just like I do. I want to join in that Ephesians Bible study. I hope
Hooray.
You've been yes, and I hope you've been inspired to reach your full potential too in Jesus Christ, using your gifts and talents for His glory. Thank you, Donna, for inspiring us tonight. God bless you. And
thank
join
you so
me
much.
Again next week when we will hear from another inspiring guest who reflects God's gifts. Till then, may God keep you in His tender care. Good night, Donna, and good night, listeners.
Good night.
The Woods End Series by Alexander Clare. When Andrea is framed for murder, she discovers that divorce cannot sever the ties from a dangerous cult. Follow Boston Police Detective Jared Shield as he sets out to solve a murder and kidnapping, only to confront a vast conspiracy competing to produce the last Antichrist of world history. Against the backdrop of drama and intrigue, the Woods End characters come to see that demons are on their last assignments. Bible prophecy unfolds in real time, and Jesus Christ is at the door. Two books, Woods End, and the thrilling sequel, The Year Between the Wood. Download from Kindle, Nook, Screwpulp.com, or purchase the softcover at Amazon. Also by Alexander Clare, a work of nonfiction, discerning spirits, visionary gifts, and practice. Find it all at alexanderclare.com.
LifeQuest Christian Network.